Security. Yes.
Hello.
The porno coming.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Well, howdy, folks. Welcome to the deep... Oh, we're not really in Texas, because otherwise we'd be, like, shot out or something. But that's okay.
Well, welcome you to... You guys would be fine. I'd be screwed.
Well, I don't know. Judging by the way, the world at the moment, you know, you never know. 1979 might have been a safer time for everyone involved. But as I was saying before I was segued away from myself, welcome to another episode of Uncensored Horror... A live episode, which we haven't done in a hot minute. We're here. Very much unplanned, but it's okay. We're here. We can talk. We're good at talking. We do the talking thing a lot. So we decided to tackle something new, something different, something modern. We've done a lot of retro horror and stuff that, you know, made us... horror fans, or that has new sequels coming out, etc., etc. But we have very rarely touched on brand new properties that are fresh and are sporting franchises of their own. But today we are making an exception. Today we are trying something new, and we're jumping all the way back to 2022. Oh my god, so long ago. We today are reviewing Ty West's slasher X. Now, Katie, you can go first. When did you first hear about this movie?
Well, first things first, I'm a fucking sex symbol. second thing, I first heard about it when it was first announced, because I'm a huge Ty West fan. Been following him since House of the Devil, which is probably one of my favorite films by him. So when this was announced, I was pretty excited about it. But unfortunately, not my favorite. But we'll get into that later. However... I think this was really kind of unexpected for a lot of the actors in the film. And I was kind of pleasantly surprised by their performances. And it's, I'm not sure how to describe it. However, I think it's an underperformance on Ty West's part, but it's a really, really, like, really fun kind of surprise for people who like Brittany Snow or Kid Cudi, or even, like, Jenna Ortega shows up and you're like, holy shit, it's Jenna Ortega. Especially when you, find out what the plot's about.
before she was
Jenna, Wednesday Addams.
Jenna Ortega, you know what I mean? Yeah. Before she was... who she was now. That's all happened very, very quickly
But the fun part was, watching the movie and you're figuring out what everything's about. Then all of a sudden, oh, hey, that's Brittany Snow and she's naked. didn't really see that one coming, even though it's about porn stars, but still.
Yeah, well. And did you see this in cinemas? Did you see this?
I did not get to see it in cinemas, unfortunately. I had to see it at home, as I see most of my films, because most of the movies I get to see in cinemas are kid-related these days.
Unless I send you on a forced assignment.
Boss man goes, you need a mental health day, go see a movie.
You must see this movie. Interesting. All right, Luke, what about you? When did you know about this movie? Did you hear about it, or did you just stumble upon it?
Look, I had heard about it
But I didn't have any interest in it. I was like, oh, it'll be crappy, because I heard it was kind of like a comedy as well. But there is comedy in this film, but it's certainly not a comedy. It's I'd say it's even it's not funny. It's like a Scream kind of, but when I heard about it, though, I wasn't interested. And then I sat down one night and I saw it on Amazon Prime, and I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to give it a go. And I ended up loving it. So, but we'll talk more about that.
Cool. Yeah, so I think in general, especially in Australia, it only had a very release window from what I remember. It was for a while there in 2022 when, like, movies were kind of coming back and all that kind of thing. We had these, like, special release horror nights that they would do. They would do like a limited release of movies, and I'm pretty sure X was one of those ones, because I couldn't see it anywhere, like when I went to look for it. And it was kind of one of those ones that got lost in the shuffle. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then we ended up in America and all that kind of stuff. And I think the main focus of that year was Halloween, and I think everything else fell to the bottom of the pile. But yeah, I finally saw it, like less than 48 hours ago now. I finally gave it a watch. And I've got to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I don't know that I'll tell you what I think the problem is at the end of the show. But I was happy that I enjoyed it, because it takes a lot for me to get invested in movies these days. I find it harder and harder to, especially like horror, unless it's like got great actors straight up. I'm just like, oh, I've seen it all. Like, I've seen this. I know what's happening. And I think that's part of the strength of this as well, that it has that familiarity. But look, let's do the big spoiler warning. It's 2020. Look, as long ago as this seems, this franchise has really just sprung out of nowhere super quickly, which is awesome for Ty West and the actors involved. Like, Mia Goth's just like, well, I'm working for the rest of my life, so it's all good. She's a busy girl. But for X to be out and then for a sequel to come out so quickly afterwards, and then the reason why we're actually doing this now is that the third sequel has been announced and it's coming. Maxine is due out this year. So this has become a trilogy in the space of like 18 months, which is super rare / exciting, I guess. If you've got that lightning in a bottle moment, you kind of grab onto it, because this is kind of revived the slasher a little bit, which is cute. But again, well, I digress. This is the spoiler warning. If you have not seen X from 2022 yet, there will be spoilers, and it will kind of affect the rest of how you view the franchise as it unfolds. So if you haven't seen it yet, please just pause the podcast and then come back and give us your two cents as well. So we'll talk about it. X is I would guess you call it an homage. It feels very very reminiscent of Texas Chainsaw Massacre meets Friday the 13th. It's like an homage to these late 70s slasher movies that take the big city, like big city mice into the country, and as two worlds collide, modern day America and, you know, the good old boys of the heartland of America collide, and, you know, blood is shed at that point. So I think that's a pretty good analysis so far, right, Katie?
Well, I mean, you start out in like a kind of small, I'd say they're in Florida, wouldn't you?
Does that look Floridian.
It looks Floridian, but they're...
But it says there's rural Texas, so they could be somewhere, like, they end up in rural Texas, so I don't know if they're driving from Florida to Texas.
I mean, there's reference to a bayou, so, like, when it says a bayou burlesque on the side of the building when they're leaving. So it is a small town. They're leaving small town. Well, they're leaving a city or a small city, and they're going way out into the country. And I can't remember if I, when I rewatched it, I can't remember if I missed why they're going into the middle of bumfuck nowhere to film this. Is it?
Well, it's because it's cheaper and it's away from from prying eyes. They won't get, you know, they won't get caught out and fined and all that kind of stuff. Because that's what he says. He got the house for cheap, and it's private, and no one will see what they're doing. Because this is the underlying I guess motivation of the movie is that these, one of them at least, works at the strip club. They work at the strip club. Mm-hmm. Two of them, I guess both the girls work at the strip club, and they're going to try to get into the burgeoning home video craze,
right?
And of porn. And it's very, I agree with you, in 2022 it seems very weird to make this the focus of a movie. Like, it's like a tongue-in-cheek kind of look at the exploitation-ish version, because there's some stereotypes that prove true in this movie, which is one of the funniest parts of the movie, I must say. I'll talk about it when we get there. And I literally went, bah! And laughed out loud. It's been a while since the movie's made me do that.
And I'm, like, very sex positive. I'm very, like, oh, they're just body parts or whatever. But even I'm just kind of like, oh, it's kind of, like, a lot of, like, nudity. It's a lot of, like, very graphic. And it really does. And it really does feel like, well, it's a lot of female nudity. It's all female nudity, really, except Kid Cudi's butt, which, by the way, Kid Cudi, very
nice touch. Look.
Nice touch.
It's definitely... But I think it's definitely a NC-17 version of a porn movie. It's like you see boobs. You know what I mean? There's boobs. Like,
right,
if you're coming in expecting it to be like, I don't know, the Rob Zombie version where you'd probably see like meth in the corner and everyone's like that's not what's happening.
I mean, I was happy to hear I can't really hear you, Luke.
Yeah, we can't really hear you.
I was thinking everyone would be battling with their hepatitis C.
Probably.
I mean, I was happy to hear that Brittany Snow had a really positive experience with it. She felt good about filming. She felt good about her body, and she felt confident and comfortable. So that makes me feel better about it.
Oh, she looks great.
She looks great. Fantastic, and I'm happy to hear that it was a good experience. And I hear nothing but good things about Ty West, so... I'm glad it was a positive experience, but it's still, anytime you have like females and nudity on a horror set, you always kind of feel it's a little exploitive. And
I
think that this movie was turning that on its head, though. Like, it was exploitative plus. Like, it was almost, it was like tongue in cheek for exploitative films.
The female characters also were very empowered in the film too. Like those women definitely were in control of the situation, and you could tell.
So let's talk about them. So our cast is obviously our lead is Maxine, Mia Goth, and she is the star. She's the star of the show. She is, I think, like the lead dancer or something at the club. I think it's implied. And her boyfriend, Wayne, who I did not realize is Martin Henderson. Now, if you're Australian, you'll know Martin Henderson. And it blew my mind. I only realized today that it was him. I'm like, oh, okay. Martin Henderson was actually the male lead in the ring. Yeah, you know, the reporter dude.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Yeah, he was. He's from New Zealand, but he was fairly well known. He had a pretty prolific TV career, and then he went over to the States. So then we've got Brittany Snow, Barbie Lynn, who is doing her best Marilyn Monroe. That's her look, right? She's just like in the Marilyn.
The 70s looks very good on her, like. That is a good look for her. Like, those outfits look fantastic on her. Like,
yeah, definitely.
It suits her. It suits her very well.
We have Jackson, of course, Kid Cudi, who is the male the male star. So
many people didn't realize that was Kid Cudi.
I didn't either. Look, I to be honest, I was like, oh, is he? I was like, oh, he is too. That's okay. I know what's happening now. We have amateur director RJ, who's like the typical screen nerd that we have in these kind of movies, and his girlfriend Lorraine, who is modern it girl Jenna Ortega, which she just seems to have gotten really, really fortunate with everything just going bloop, 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 and falling in line in release schedule for her to just become this major star for over pretty much overnight. Let's look at, like, sometimes you've got to be down in the trenches, but she's had some fairly good. I think this is a smart move on her part to do this early. And then she's now branched out. She's a certified scream queen, I think. Now.
She's got a scream.
And she has a good scream on her. She's
got
a
real good scream. I mean, she
does have a good scream on her.
I don't know what you guys like have as like a still for your like streaming service. But it's her, like, it's her screaming for me on Showtime. Yeah. And like she has got a good scream. Yeah.
Like, yeah. She's done. Yeah. She's definitely got the lungs for it. And I think it was nice to actually see her as part of an ensemble cast where she wasn't kind of pushed as the lead. Like, obviously, in Wednesday, she is Wednesday. So she's the lead of the show. Mm-hmm. In Scream, she's got that relationship with Melissa Barrera, where she's the other sister, so she's obviously going to be the lead and be pushed that way. But it's nice to see her fit in and not have to kind of have the moment, because I think that she's stronger here.
I knew who she was, and I thought that she was going to be pushed as the main character. I thought she was going to be the final girl, but we'll talk about that again.
Yeah.
Compared to her performance in Scream, she was a lot more. I think her performance in the Scream movies is a lot more subdued than in here. But comparatively, she has a lot more trauma to endure in this one than in Scream. I mean, granted, she's being chased by killers in both, but it's a lot more gruesome in this one.
Oh, I don't know. I think Scream's starting to push it up there.
Scream 6 was pretty gruesome, but when you think of the deaths in this one compared to the Scream movies.
Yeah.
So
they're in the stereotypical 70s van driving through Texas. Like, I got big, and I think it's intentional, Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes.
It was very much, like, intentional.
Super intentional, just even from the way it was shot. It's just like, this is intentional. And the more that they were in the environment, I got this weird Friday the 13th vibe as well, because it was a bit whodunit-ish, like the original Friday the 13th, where we didn't know who the killer was. And we were like,
very much intentional. Ty West is
horror nut. He's a horror fan. And yeah, it's just, that was comforting, I think, in a way that when you're trying to set up a new franchise, you kind of need to be. You kind of need to have a little bit of familiarity for people to go, I can soak in this to find out what's really going on, because I feel at home in this environment. We know what 1970s Texas is, and what, like, late 1970s camping is. We know the ruralness. We get that. We know that feeling. And so they're there to make a porno. They have a farmhouse that they are hiring. They meet Howard, who is, that's the makeup, hopefully. Hopefully, because he is one ugly son of a bitch, as is quoted in the movie. It's like, it's off-putting. It gives me, like, strong Grandpa from Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes, if he was, like, a bit more mobile and not a corpse. But that's okay. Well, not really a corpse, because he drinks blood, but, you know, we're splitting hairs here, literally. Splitting hairs. So they live in a guest house that is set up from the Civil War. Like, that house is still going strong. Looks very, very sturdy for an age-old house. But very cool, very you know, of the moment, of the era, of the scene. Like, there wasn't any weird anachronisms. It felt 70s. It felt that, like, late 70s vibe with the dirty kind of, you know, shabbiness, which I appreciate. I like being in the moment. The group automatic show, they pretty much get straight into it. There's no beating around the bush, as it were. That's Bobby Lynn and Bobby Lynn and Jackson get straight into it. And
Jackson gets straight into Bobby.
Yeah, they are. They are warned to not go near the house. It's like, okay, cool. Because as Maxine is getting her stuff from the car, she sees someone looking down at her from the window. And yeah, weird eye contact moment. How long did it take? Because I didn't read anything about it. or did you know? How long did it take you to realize that was Mia Goth?
I didn't know until after I watched the movie.
Oh, pretty much immediately. You could see it in their face.
I don't know if I watched it because I watched it late at night. I was kind of, when they were together, that was like, and she was talking, well, this is for later, but when they were talking, when they had their scene together, I was like, that's interesting. But we get the first encounter with the weird old lady who we know, come to learn, her name is Pearl. And this is I didn't expect this scene, but, you know, as is always in the 70s, when there's a body of water and who wears just overalls? Wouldn't her nips be chafed like no one's business?
You don't. It
would rub other places too.
No, you don't. It was for the movie.
Yeah, but she was happily doing it. This is the first scene where I was like, oh, I don't know if I like it. I didn't know there were fucking alligators in Texas.
Oh, hell yeah. In swamps like that, they're everywhere, man.
That thing was, and the way that they shot it at the beginning, I was like, oh, it's only little. And then it starts coming, I was like, that thing's fucking huge. And it didn't look like an alligator, it looked like a crocodile, right, Luke?
Yes, it was definitely croc. We're talking
that like a crocodile. That was fucking huge, and we figure out why later on. I was like, "Why is this thing so big if it lives on the far?" And then, never mind. We find out later on why it's so big. But that actually gave me a little bit of tension because not only do you have, you know, Pearl looking, but you have Mia Goth just chilling. Lovely aerial shot, by the way. Some beautiful cinematography moments in this movie. And it didn't look real at all, but it gave me tension. I was like, oh, why am I feeling tension about this? It's not okay.
It was very Jaws, wasn't it, at that moment, like a little bit like the build up.
Yeah, kind of. It was that fake out moment where you're like, where is the real danger? Who can say? And at this
point, I thought General Ortega was going to be the star, so I thought, well, she's dead from the croc.
Yeah, like, the alligator. I thought she was going to have, yeah, like a Friday the 13th girl kind of moment, you know?
Yeah. Nope.
So this is where we get the meeting between Maxine and Pearl. And weird old lady. Like, weird old lady. Oh, look, a very own weird old lady. Hi, Vera.
Hi, Mom.
So, yeah, we, like, I don't know that I'd go inside. What, like, we have watched these movies, and I know that they're of the time, so they wouldn't have seen anything like this, but you don't go into the creepy country house in the 70s.
I don't know. I go,
don't
into,
go past that
I go into
door.
Vera's house all the time, and she doesn't do anything to me.
Yeah, but Vera doesn't live in Texas, okay? Vera's not of the Texan.
No,
yeah.
Vera is not a Texan, no.
You don't go through that screen door. It's not going to end well for anyone. Because throughout the movie, we're getting this, and this is his, obviously, commentary, societal commentary, that was hard to say today, on, you know, old school American values and the Bible thumping Christianness. Well, there's no chainsaws in this V, so you're safe. We don't know that much about Vera's past.
Just your sharp humor, Vera. Just your sharp humor.
So we get the contrast between, you know, these modern liberated people who want to make the sex film and all that kind of thing. The Bible bashing is constant on the radio, on the TV, just kind of reinforcing that cultural collide. And then they've got this frozen in time, the couple that look like they have been around since the Civil War. like how old are these people supposed to be? Like, how old do you think they're supposed to be?
80s.
I'm sure. Yeah.
In their 80s.
To be their 80s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we get a little
in their 80s too. Like, they had a rough, like, they were.
Well, as we'll discover as we progress in the series. So Pearl and Maxine have their encounter. I can't imagine that lemonade tasted good. She was like,
well, she slammed chugging it.
That lemonade. Yeah, she slammed it. And she discovers that, you know, I think Pearl has led a very unfulfilled, unhappy life, which this is all we know of Pearl at this point.
When they were doing that to Pearl, I was like, this is me.
You're going to be a crazy old lady in a pub. You're
in your 80s and still got that urge.
Katie, I'm not going to make it to 80, honey. We know this.
You're not going to make it to 80.
But Pearl's tells Maxine about how she was, you know, how she dreamed of being a star and how she was something, she always thought she was destined for something more and something special. She has a special face like Maxine's. Hello. Now we know why, because it's the same actress. But anyway, and this kind of weird moment, because you can see that, like, Pearl's got this weird vibe, like she's trying to touch her and stuff, and she freaks out a little bit. But all of that kind of gets broken down straight away when Howard comes home. I don't know why we're scared of Howard, but he's a scary looking dude. So I'd be scared.
Because he's a white male in Texas, I'd be afraid of him too.
Well, we've already had the gun fake out where he's like, oh, it's not loaded. So I was like, oh, we've had the gun fake out. So we know. Well, he says it isn't loaded, so
wouldn't trust him still.
So we get out. Maxine has her moment where they shoot her scene with Jackson, and you know that's all revelations and whatnot.
She in that scene.
Sorry,
what was that?
Did she do some reverse cowgirl in her scene?
Oh, she did something, but.
I didn't think her scene was that spectacular, quite honestly. And they're going, I told you she was something special. It's like,
I know. What was that moment where they come out of the bedroom and it's like, feel how hard my cock is? It's like, wait, what? I got very confused at that moment. What are we watching?
I know they're supposed to fake it, and I know they're supposed to be exaggerated, but I got to tell you, I think Britney gave a better performance.
And she says that. I think that she's the actress out of the pair, because as she shows off, she's like, ooh, like,
right. You know. But, you know, apparently Maxine is something special, and she's, I can see why he left his wife for you, like, don't kiss her ass. She wasn't that great.
She might not be the actress, but she's got something about her, which I think is obviously going to be expanded upon as we go through.
She made eye contact with the camera. Whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly, I don't got it.
we've got a big.
Did you stick to the nugget couch, Katie?
Nugget couch is retired. My days are over.
So we get an interesting comment on voyeurism. Obviously, Jenna Ortega's character is up in... She's a church mouse. She's the one who thinks that this is all a bit disgusting and below her and all that kind of thing. But the more she's exposed to it...
Moisten her a little bit? loosen her up.
Yeah, she said I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yeah. So it's an interesting, you know, interesting comment on repression and, you know, widening your sexual proclivities and desires and ideas. But we've also got in the background of this scene, good old Pearl coming in for a sneaky peek about what's going on. And that's kind of creepy, but, you know.
That was, you know, grandma watching one play. I was like,
So as night falls, as normally does in this movie, shit hits the fan. RJ is brutally upset when Lorraine decides to, you know, be all women's lib and go, I want to do a scene in the movie. She wants to be part of it. She gets her wish. But I think it's interesting that she's the only one we didn't see the sex scene with. But how old was she when she filmed this movie?
That's what I was kind of wondering too, because she kept her bra on, she kept her underwear on, and all you see is the back, and then they like zoom immediately out. So she had to be really, she had to be young.
Because she's not an old, like, let's have a look.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
She's not that old.
Okay. So she was born.
She's 20. So she's just 20. She would have been 18.
So she was like legal. Just 18. So they
but were still just pushing. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Playing it safe with her, I guess, because.
Which is smart,
but it was interesting that she's the only one that didn't get the old tit shot. But you gotta have a Jamie Lee, right?
You gotta appreciate that though, that they're like, okay, you're freshly 18. Yeah. Let's not push it too far.
Yeah. And I think it would have hurt her a little bit, maybe, with her Wednesday and like
I don't think she'd be Wednesday if she got her boobs out.
Oh yeah, she took her top off, she wouldn't be Wednesday for sure. Yeah. But also, I think if she had taken her top off, then I think that probably really would have been completely exploitive. Because again, freshly 18.
And it does give us more, you know, it gives the genre fans a bit more of a misdirect as well, because she's the one that's not showing the goods. She's obviously the final girl. She's the one that's going to survive, right? Because we don't see her. She's not a bad girl, as it were.
But you also... I mean, it also... We don't know that she didn't. It leads a lot to the imagination, because maybe she did.
But the way that it is shown, you know that in Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis doesn't do that, so she survives in Scream.
Those are the rules. You know,
Sydney doesn't do that until the end, but she still manages to survive because it's a flip on the head. This is more of an homage. So when you look at that, you're like, oh well, she's obviously going to be the survivor because she's the good girl. These girls that have loose morals, as is in the 70s, are the ones that are going to get punished. But the women are the ones that survive the longest, because RJ has a little like mentee bee overseeing his girlfriend enjoy sex probably more than she enjoys it with him, I think is the whole problem. Mm-hmm. And has a bit of a little breakdown in the showers and decides to leave. As he drives away, he literally nearly runs into Pearl, who's been told not to leave the house, you know. Don't leave the house, don't. And, you know, she's got the Jones in for some bones, and because she's ready to hump anything that moves. I think this is a good advertisement for sexuality. And like, Pearl's after it. She's for anyone that she can get it. And she's just flipped her shit. Like, as soon as he rebuffs her, she goes in. Like, that neck stab came out of nowhere. We love a, like, neck stab. That's the latest thing. I think it's because it's so quick and brief. It's like,
we were meant to think that she was, like, a demented old lady. But then once she did that, we're like, okay, she's not demented. She's crazy. Like, she's psycho.
No, she knows what she's doing. She has intention. She knows what she's doing. And she goes for the stab, doesn't she? That poor boy's neck by the end of that. I'm like, oh, It was like
not much left.
It was like meatloaf, but a very nice shot of, you know, as the blood sprays, it goes over the headlights and turns the whole thing red. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Okay, Ty West, I see.
That was a cool shot.
I see you, Ty West. I see what you're doing here. Mm-hmm. So RJ is pretty quickly dispensed. Like, you wouldn't think an 80-year-old lady can take someone down so quickly, but, you know, for all the naysayers that say, you know, Mrs. Voorhees couldn't have done this, that, the other, Debbie Salt couldn't have done this, Emma Roberts couldn't have done this, Amber from Scream couldn't have done this.
Debbie Salt wasn't as old as Maxine.
I know, but I think it, like, the way that Maxine attacks people is appropriate for her age and...
Pearl.
Yeah, we got confused. We both got confused then.
We did. I corrected myself, Pearl.
The way that she attacks them is more Mrs. Voorhees style. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of the nature of surprise. And I think that is underrated when it comes to this, like, we are so used to telegraphing stuff when it comes to horror. Like, this is happening, so we know that in 3 minutes after we've had a jump scare and maybe a slight chase scene, something will happen. But I didn't expect her to just go the snap and oh, it's all over, blood everywhere. It's like, okay, cool. I appreciate you. So then, you know, Lorraine notices that RJ is missing and runs into Wayne, which was another effective little jump scare. And they go a searching. They go a walking after midnight and looking for RJ. Martin Henderson, more power to you in your, like, they're not tidy whiteys, they're tidy greys. But I think it was a nice change in expectation to see the male. You know, it's usually the girls running around going, oh, I'm only in my underwear. What's happening? Oh, but it was a nice little flip on the formula that he was the one walking around in his undies and his skivvies.
Yeah, just, that's very timely for the 70s.
Yeah, they're just walking around. And this was, oh, no. I don't know what it is with nails in feet. I can't.
I can't either. It's so played out, but it's effective.
Every time you see it. Anytime you see feet, it's like, oh, why are you doing this to me? I don't enjoy it.
There are a few things of body horror that will get me every time.
Eyes?
Nails in the feet and teeth coming out. Every time. I just can't do it.
For what me, about the needle eyes.
The needle pit.
The needle pit in Saw 2, yeah. The needle pit in Saw 2.
Oh, that doesn't bother me that much.
Anything with eyes and fingernails freak me. So when they get dragged along, their fingernails come out. Oh, like that upsets me. That
doesn't bother me that much too, but teeth getting ripped out or nails in feet. Can't do it.
And they telegraph this happening. And this felt so Friday the 13th, right? This could be in a Friday the 13th movie. I reckon.
You see it coming a mile away. You're like, oh, he's going to step on it.
And then he does.
Like, you know it's coming. Like, you can prepare yourself. Like, oh, shit, he's going to step on it.
And it's not even a little. And it's all the way in. Like, it's all the way in. Mm-hmm. It's all the way in. And then he's going to pull it out. And, mm-hmm. Oh.
It's like, oh, yucky, he's going to step on it. You have the chance to look away, but you can't. Like,
yeah, it's not
like, right. Oh, no!
And you kind of felt it. You put on it, you felt
yep.
it.
Then you feel it. And you feel it. Like, oh, God, that's so much tetanus. Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, the tetanus.
The tetanus of it all. But he doesn't, look, it doesn't really matter because it is not long until he is quickly dispatched while seeing a shadow move outside and then gets a pitchfork to the eyes. It's like, oh, damn. That's swift. Kenny. a quick pitchfork to the eyes
They were in porn, so they were probably going to die of AIDS anyway. So tetanus, yeah, AIDS.
why is he going to die of AIDS? He wasn't gay.
You never. It's not just a gay disease.
That's true. It's not just a gay disease. You're right. That was very ignorant of me. That was very ignorant of me.
So meanwhile, we have Jenna Ortega, Lorraine. I just can't with Lorraine. It's so 70s. Running into the creeper that is Howard, who's claiming that Pearl has gone missing. So do we think at this point, do we think that Pearl and Howard have had the conversation that they're going to go on a spree? Or do you think that Howard is, or do you think that Howard is simply cleaning up Pearl's mess?
Oh no, he's in on it.
After, you know, we're not going to talk about prequels and stuff like that, but I think he's very much in love with that crazy bitch and trying to keep what she does under wraps.
He's in on it. He's trying to please his woman.
Yeah, so I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B. He lets Lorraine into the house, which is a big warning sign. Anyway, it's like, oh. Then he pulls the "Oh My Heart" card. Can you go downstairs into the basement and get the other flashlight?
Bitch, don't go in the basement.
It is meant to be the 70s, so we'll give her credit and be like, whatever, bitch. But this is where this was effective. She finds another body. Now, I originally thought this was RJ, but
I thought it was too.
But, someone has been hung and has a fairly long prosthetic penis. I would assume it's prosthetic, unless someone's just being paid to hang there with their dog out.
I was going to say, was that the one from Boogie Nights?
That's been bled out, and we get Jenna screaming. So this is probably the sign of the future. Someone saw this and went, you got a good scream on you, girl. You got a big future. You got a big future, kids. Stick with me. You got a big future, kid. So Howard then, once he's waylaid Pearl, because waylaid, can't even problem with names today, Lorraine. So this is where I was still a little bit doubtful whether Howard was in on it for me here until he went to the house. And I'm like, okay, so he's gone to the house to get help from Jackson. And this was the funny part. Jackson's shadow. In the doorway, it's like, I'll get my skivvies, and there's just this big, giant fucking dong hanging down. It's like, oh no. Hey, Rachel, how are you going?
They knew exactly what they were doing with that. They knew exactly what they were doing.
It was funny. It was a cute moment. I was like, hee 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 hee. So they go on the lookout as well because, you know, ex-military together. I firmly believe that Howard may have fought in the Civil War. Because the more I look at Howard, I'm like, dude, you old. Like, you old.
Hey, dude, you haven't seen Pearl yet, have you?
I haven't, no. I'm waiting to see Pearl. Pearl's my next clip.
What you're assuming is probably on the money.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, good to know. They go and look in because Howard says that Pearl has been down by the docks before, and there's the alligator. They acknowledge the alligator. So there's a nice little fake out here. We think that Howard has been got by the alligator because the torch is floating in the water. So Jackson's an all-round good guy. He actually goes in the water looking for the old man. Like, do you know what I mean? I wouldn't be going in the water. If you've told me there's an alligator around that's eating things and you know, is a danger to the community, I wouldn't be going anywhere near the water at night time. That's just me. But, again, it's the 70s.
Massive dong.
He could have beaten the alligator to death with his dick. Like, dish, dish, dish. But we find a submerged car. And it all starts to make sense now that, you know, maybe these aren't the first visitors to this farm. And maybe now we're starting to understand why the alligator is looking so healthy. He's like, oh, okay. No. Jackson, yeah, so Howard very quickly takes care of Jackson. Shotgun to the chest. Oy.
Yeah. He got poor guy.
Poor guy. He was just being fed to the resident. You know, it's kind of like Adam's Family, actually. You know how they had their pet alligator? It's all coming full circle for Janet Ortega. She's like, oh, you're an alligator baby? Cool, nice. This is where it gets creepy as well, because Pearl gets into bed with Maxine and has
creepy scene, like unsettling. Yeah. The whole thing was just like, ugh.
I don't sleep in bed with people normally anymore. Like, I'm like, you got to go. But having that old lady in there, the blood and the, yeah.
Now, Luke, having small child, I know you've had moments where you've woken up and you've had a small person looking at you, like directly in your face, and you weren't expecting that small person there. Yes, this has happened to me before, too. Grayson has done this to me before, where he's just like stroking my face. Good morning, mommy. And I'm like, you were not there just a second ago.
Child. I think it's slightly more terrifying when it's a bloody old woman, though. It's like,
it's definitely probably more terrifying when it's a bloody old woman, but you know, the child's about to be, you know, covered in blood because I'm about to punch him in the face because I wasn't expecting him there. And then CPS is going to get called and it's going to be a whole thing.
So we find out that Mia Goth has a good scream on her as well, though. Mia Goth's got a pretty all right scream on her. I was like, oh.
Mia Goth's got a good scream, too.
She's got a good scream. She wakes up.
Okay.
Yeah, she rolled over. Sorry. Yeah, she rolled over and saw her, and that's why she started screaming. And as Bobby Lynn comes to try and save her, Pearl rushes past her in the hallway, which was another little bit of a jump scare that I wasn't, I don't know if I was like on edge the night that I watched this. I was like, oh, okay, there's an old lady doing a nudie run. It's like, okay, bye, girl. See you. She got caught out. Paul Lorraine is having a time in the basement, though. She's having a time, but she gets her little hatchet and she thinks she's ready to go. But the fingers! The fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not okay when you see the bones like poking through after she gets her fingers smashed by Howard. It's like, oh God. Oh, okay, Howard's part of the problem. Howard's definitely part of the problem. It's not okay.
Yep. Howard's in on it.
Yeah. poor Bobby Lynn tries to, you can tell that she is like, I guess she's the Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors. She's like the hooker with the heart of gold. Like, that's the character choice they're going for. She's like,
such a sweet little moment. You know, she puts a blanket around her and she, you know, it's like, oh, my grandma had, you know, has
gets,
a tough yeah, time
gets
too.
Confused.
And,
yeah.
You know, she's, you know, generally trying to be, you know, empathetic and sweet and, yeah.
No, she gets bitch slapped and then bitch slapped, called a whore, pushed into the lake and brutally dispatched by the alligator. I was like, that was her head. Yeah, Bobby her Lynn head did, went that way.
Yeah, justice for Bobby Lynn, man. She didn't deserve it.
Yeah, Bobby Lynn got fucked up. Yeah.
She didn't even have a chance to get fucked up. She just got done.
And then in probably the most disturbing scene in the movie. Pearl and Howard in the guest house.
Oh, yeah, it was not that bad.
Imagine being under that bed, though.
Oh, come on. You know.
Fuck me, Howard. Fuck me.
You know what? Going into that scene, you know, before watching it, I had heard about this, and everyone's just like, oh, old people sex. It was not even that bad.
It wasn't that bad, but still.
Y'all are a bunch of
it was gross. Like, they're literally getting off of killing people.
It's really not that bad. It's truly not that bad. It's truly.
It's not graphic, but it is icky. Let's put it that way.
I didn't really think it was that bad.
It's icky. I was like, I don't want to be near that.
I really didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, look, more power to her if she can get everything flowing. Like,
that's what I'm thinking, man. Like, she's. Man, homegirl's old and she still wants to get it in. Like, I'm 40 and I got to work up some effort into it sometimes. girl's double my age, and she's just like.
Yeah, I thought that would have killed Howard because he kept going, "My heart, my heart." Like, yeah. I thought that's where Howard's gonna die, and that'll like make her snap more.
Yeah, but I thought Howard was done for.
And I was very surprised that Maxine got out of the house because normally she'd be like halfway through, knock something off a counter, and it'd be all over. You know what I mean? But she got out and she got to the van. Maybe I wasn't watching closely enough, or it was an edited version. I didn't see RJ's decapitated body. Oh my god, I stroked out. I saw the tires. I didn't see his body. When was it? Okay.
I don't remember seeing it either. Honestly,
it might be a different cut of the movie because I watched it on Amazon Prime, so you never know.
I watched it on Showtime, and I don't remember seeing it either, quite honestly. But I don't remember seeing. Well, I mean, obviously, we're not going to see Bobby Lynn, and we're not going to see Jackson, but I don't remember seeing a lot of their bodies again.
So she, Maxine, who gave us a little hint earlier that she keeps a gun. Oh, well, actually, Wayne says it. He keeps a gun in the truck as well, just in case. Grabs said pistol and finally starts to do the smart thing. Because she finds Lorraine, but Lorraine has had a very big change of heart after her experiences in the basement and blames Maxine for everything, attempts to run out of the house, but fuck me, dead does she get dispatched quickly by that shotgun. Oh, I like, especially in this movie, it's nice to see them kind of show a shotgun doing the damage that a shotgun would do with the power that it has. It's like, nah, bam, she gone. And poor Maxine has to see it. She's like, oh god. And yeah, she's like watching. She's this was the kind of horror comedy moment that I, it is dark comedy, but as they begin to move her body, we realize that she's not as dead as she might be. And that's the thing. That's the thing that kills poor Howard.
Yeah, I love that. Lorraine took him out.
Yeah.
She didn't mean to, and she took him out.
Yeah, Howard is, just fucked up. And she's, and then back, Pearl's like, help him. And Max is like, are you fucking insane? Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? So she manages to get the keys to Howard's truck, and we have the showdown with Pearl, but in classic horror movie moment, the gun isn't loaded. It's like, bitch, like you check these things, right? You check these things.
Like, yeah, you pick it up. You check and make sure it's loaded.
You check, especially if people are getting murdered around you. You check these things. Mm-hmm. But again, this is my favorite.
These kids were not the smartest.
We've had threats of we're very worried about Pearl's hip. Pearl's hip, don't break a hip, Pearl. I laughed out loud. I know it makes me a bad person, but when Pearl tries to take Maxine out with the shotgun and the recoil throws her backwards out of the house, she breaks her hip. Yep. I shouldn't laugh, but no,
it's meant to be funny.
That's kind of you get what you give, right?
These moments like that, they're meant to be funny.
Like, yeah, we thought her hip was going to go out and Howard's heart was going to go out during their nookie thing. So we did get
the payoff. It was very cute. So as Maxine goes to leave, Pearl is begging her for help, and Maxine's like, fuck you, lady. And then we see Pearl's true colours. Not before we see what the contents of her skull contains after she gets reversed over and her head pops like a very ripe melon. It's like, oh, damn. That's, I don't think Pearl's coming back for the sequel, just quietly. It's just like, oh, she gone. Pearl's gone. And we see Maxine drive away.
Maxine's following the rules. Headshot.
Maxine's out. Yeah, you know, she's out. So the following morning, the interesting thing with this, we have had jumps in time between this. I haven't really gone through them because it's not really consequential to the plot. Like, the beginning of the movie is the day, like the day after this night. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the police arrive. They find out that, you know, they were filming something.
Best line of the film.
Then, yeah. They have speculation about what's on the film. And the sheriff says, one goddamn fucked up horror picture. But before this, we have the revelation, and I thought this was cute because I didn't expect it, that the preacher, the televangelist that has been on there talking about the corruption of children and sex and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, has a daughter that they lost to the world of sin, a daughter named Maxine. Yes! And that's the end of X. Now, let's discuss how many old lady broken hips do we give it out of 5? Let's go with Luke. We'll go with Luke first. How many old lady broken hips do you give it?
I would give X a solid 4.5 broken hips because I think it set out to be a bit of a play on Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw, but have a twist. And I think it hit all the marks and done it really well. And I really love Bobby Lynn. I really wish that we got some more Bobby Lynn, but we won't ever see her again.
Poor Bobby Lynn. It was nice to see her get a singing scene in, though. It was nice to see her get her pitch perfect in. She's like, by the way, I sing. That's a little landslide moment. As you do. All right, Katie, how many broken hips?
I'm going to give it 3 broken hips out of 5. Yeah. I think it was... I'm pretty disappointed, honestly. I really love Ty West. I love that he loves the genre. But I feel like this one was a little slow. I feel like it took a lot to get to where we needed to go. But once we got there, like it didn't... Like, it took a lot to get to where we needed to, like, to the kills, like, to get to the action. I mean, once they started killing these kids off, like, it didn't stop. But it took pretty much the whole movie to get there. And the plot points were pretty disappointing. It was pretty slow. I feel it was really exploitative. Maybe that makes me prudy. Not sure. I really, really like Brittany Snow in this. I really like Kid Cudi in this. I feel like I feel like this is their movie, even though it's not. I feel like they stole the show. I like Jenna Ortega in this. I also want to point out that Luke is a terrible history major.
He was in the World War.
It was World War I, by the way, Civil War, for Pearl. Anyways, but yeah, 3 stars. It was a pretty solid film. Otherwise, Ty West is a fantastic horror director and writer. And if you are looking for a modern horror director, he is one to check out. And when Steve is done with his reviews, I would say go check out his other stuff. And I've got some recommendations if you guys want to hear them.
Do you think... Okay, so I'm going to go 3.5 for this one. I liked it. I didn't love it, but it takes me a lot these days to love a movie. I really enjoyed the kind of retro homage 1970s stuff. I enjoyed the... It felt like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre meets Friday the 13th moment. It has those kind of moral storylines, like it plays with them enough. I don't think for a movie called X, I don't think it was graphic enough. But I don't know, for a movie called X and for the hype that it had around it, I don't know that it was, you know, it had enough of that in it. I get what you're saying, Katie. I wonder how much of that is, you know, it being a major studio release as opposed to like an independent, because no matter what we think of A24, and A24 are famous for doing, you know, off the cuff weird horror and more independent, like more indie vibe horror, they're becoming a major horror studio now.
Yeah,
that's what they are. Like they're kind of days of being the cool indie, like we're going to give you the horror movies that the major studios won't, are over. Like Blumhouse, you go to for your popcorn movies, and you're like, okay, I know what. A24, you go for the weird stuff, like, you know, like Midsommar and Hereditary and all that kind of stuff. You go, that's where you go for the off.
This wasn't even weird.
But it was their attempt, I think, at going a bit more mainstream with the outsider movies of the 70s. So it was like their version of a more socially acceptable Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but even looking back at Texas Chainsaw Massacre now, it's not a violent movie. Like it's the way that the movie is shot
go ahead.
I think that it may have been not promoted the right way, this movie.
I get what you're saying there, but you know what the funny thing is, yeah, that they put out a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that year too.
Yeah, but a modern day Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
A terrible one.
But... You know what? If you go back and watch the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's not a bloody movie.
It's not.
The horror in that movie comes from the sound design, from the tension, from the filmmaking.
Oh, absolutely.
Certainly not the acting in some points. But, you know, it's only in the 80s that we kind of needed to throw more gore and blood and weirdness at it. It kind of feels like that answer.
It's shocking for the time, but it's not shocking.
But that's why the first one is a classic and the rest are trash.
Amen.
Amen. No, like I'm with you. I know that people love Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I watched the first one because, you know, I kind of fell in love with it as a film student, and as a student of film, you want to watch how to make a horror movie without it being so, like, deceptively horror, because everyone goes, oh, there's so much blood and guts and done. It's like, no, there isn't.
Not.
There isn't. Right. It's just what the movie's suggesting to you and your brain.
Yeah. Super, your brain.
I appreciate that. You don't need to show me people getting disemboweled every 5 seconds for me to be horrified.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's
why I kind of enjoyed the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because I think they hit the right. That's when Platinum Dunes was doing the remake stuff, and they hit the right balance of great, great cast in the remake with the Jessica Biel, like that cast, and the violence that people expected after that, like gore porn, early 2000s saw shit that went on. Like that was the right balance
with gore and with violence, yeah, when it's done correctly. It's done
when it's warranted and earned. You know, if it's earned, I will go with it.
Like Adam Green with the Hatchet films, I think he does it so right. I think it's like the right amount of gore. I think it's the right amount of blood, but he also throws some humor in it. And I think he does it so well. And I think I think he brought back like the slasher. I think he revitalized it. And he's another one of these modern directors that I love, that I will always hype up and that I'm always excited to see what he does. He's another one of those guys that I just...
Well, there's definitely more coming from Ty West, because as this movie blew up, and it did blow up on a budget of $1 million, it passed the $15 billion mark. So that's a hit. And we didn't realize how ready Ty West was, because literally like months, if not a month after X was out, we had the revelation that Pearl was coming. So there is another review coming up very soon. Pearl, which is the origin story. It's a prequel starring Mia Goth as young Pearl, and we figure out what happened to get her to the point where she is in this movie. And as I said at the top of this show, the sequel to X, Maxine, is headed this way very, very soon. Judging from what I've seen of Maxine and the way that they're promoting it, it's going to be very much a take on the 80s and kind of that. I think it's going to be like a modern day, like, you know, when, like one of Luke's favorite movies, Demi Dovstal's The Next Generation. Maxine being like the Linda, the deep throat kind of, you know, iconic snuff film actress, and she's going to Hollywood. I'm assuming that Maxine's going to be like in seedy LA. That's what the vibe I'm getting.
And they've got such a great cast.
Yeah, there's a great cast in Maxine. So there will be more review. The reason why we did this is because the Maxine cast. I had this brewing in the background. I'm like, oh, we should do it. And then we needed a show for today. I'm like, hey, let's. We've all seen it now. Let's do it. Okay, cool. Nothing like the last minute, but that's what we do here.
I mean, Ty West has got some other great films. I mean, go check out House of the Devil. Go check out The Innkeepers. Go check out The Sacrament.
Innkeepers is good. Yeah.
Innkeepers is fantastic.
If you like tension. He's got some great stuff. Do you like tension?
If you like the feel of a old school, like it's a back in the day in the 70s vibe, that's House of the Devil. Innkeepers is a ghost story. The Sacrament is a found footage film. Ty West is awesome. Go check out his stuff. Definitely support.
So it's nice to see, you know, the resurgence of the modern slasher. I mean, with Scream dominating the box office like nobody ever thought it would again. I think slashers are, we're going into another slasher era, kids, and it's nice to see something other than a major franchise, well, it's a franchise now, it's kind of grabbing some attention. So more to come from Uncensored Horror and from Texas and all that kind of stuff. So we will see you some point in the future with our review of Pearl. Until then, you know, stay away from alligators in ponds, guys. That's all I gotta say. Thanks for joining me, Luke. Thanks for joining me, Katie. We will see you again soon on Uncensored Horror. Keep it creepy.